second parak of Sanhedrin starts off by talking about many halachos pertaining to kavod, to upholding the dignity and furthering the honor of various individuals who occupy important positions in the Jewish community. And primarily it's discussing the kavod of Kohen Gadol, the kavod of a melech, and the Rishonim also add in the kavod of a Talmid Chacham. And one of the questions that's important to uncover is whether a hierarchy exists between the kavod of these three individuals, and if it does, what precisely is the hierarchy. I want to start off and making a few ha'aros in terms of the Gemara, and then to proceed, maybe if there's time, to a more comprehensive overview. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Dan, he's allowed to judge, sit on a Sanhedrin and judge cases. The Gemara says that a Melech is not allowed to sit on the Sanhedrin, he's not allowed to be on the Sanhedrin. And the Gemara explains, although there are a number of different reasons why a person would not be allowed to judge, one of the reasons is because it says Lo Sana al Riv, which we interpret as meaning that the members of the Sanhedrin are not allowed to argue on the most esteemed member of that body. The Melech, whenever he's on the Sanhedrin, is the most esteemed member of that body. They wouldn't be allowed to argue on him once he voiced his opinion. Now, every Sanhedrin has a most esteemed member. The way that we get around the prohibition for all the other judges to argue on what the person who's called the Mufla Shabbat Sanhedrin is by having him speak last. He speaks last, so therefore there's no prohibition for them to argue on him because they haven't heard what he said. He doesn't speak up until the end. However, this solution would not work by a melech. He can't speak last. And the Rishonim explain that the reason a melech can't speak last is because there's a special din of kavod. You have to give honor to the melech, and that means you have to put the melech first. He has to be the first speaker on all occasions. So therefore, the melech can't speak last. The kavod that the Dayanim have to give to the Mufla, to the biggest scholar amongst them, does not extend to having him speak first. It only extends to not arguing on his words. The kavod that they have to extend to a Melech is not only that they may not argue on him, but also that they have to give him the right to speak first. Not only they have to give him the right, but he is obligated to take that opportunity, to take that privilege. He can't simply be mochalit. Kohen Gadol, obviously, is allowed to be mochal, just like the mufla of the Beis Din is allowed to speak last. The Kohen Gadol is also allowed to speak last, and this perhaps suggests that the kavod of a Kohen Gadol is weaker than the kavod of a melech, because a Kohen Gadol, his kavod does not demand that he be the first speaker. The melech's kavod demands the melech be the first speaker. The Gemara continues also on Amud Beis and says that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be meyed. He's allowed to be meyed. The Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says that a Talmud Chacham has no obligation to testify on behalf of litigants, provided that the Beis Din is of a lower stature than himself. And this suggests that the very act of giving testimony is defined under many circumstances as an act of busha, an act of degradation, which one is obligated nonetheless to do, because the Torah says that one who knows Eidos must speak out that Eidos, but it's not an act of kavod to testify, rather it's an act which is more akin to bizayon and busha. It's a more degrading act. So based on this, Talmud Chacham is exempt from testimony. So we should assume that just like a Talmud Chacham is exempt from testimony, perhaps Kohen Gadol and the Melech should also be exempt from testimony because of their reason, because of what's called Zilusa. And indeed, our Gemara says that a Kohen Gadol is exempt from testifying under most circumstances, the same way that a Chacham is exempt from testifying. Kohen Gadol only has to testify when it's a testimony that relates to a Melech, when the Melech is sitting on the Sanhedrin, maybe only when the Melech is sitting on the Sanhedrin, and the testimony is about the Melech's son. So Kohen Gadol is exempt from testimony the same way that a Talmud Chacham is exempt from testimony, because it would be an embarrassment, it would be an affront to his dignity to come and testify in front of a panel of judges who are of lower stature than himself. Now, the Gemara in Shavuos raises an exception to this rule. It says that when it comes to the matters of Isser, let's say that the Beis Din is about to permit a woman to remarry, and this Talmud Chacham knows testimony that she be'etzem is still an Ishes Ish, that her husband is alive and therefore she should not be permitted to remarry, there the Chacham has an obligation to testify, and his honor or his dignity is suspended in the face of a possible Isser, possibility that the Beis Din will erroneously be matir an Ishes Ish. And Tosfos expands and says, if a Talmud Chacham is obligated to testify under such circumstances and to abrogate his dignity, certainly a Kohen Gadol and even a Melech should be obligated to testify and abrogate their dignity under circumstances where Isurim are at stake, where it's not only Mamon, it's not only Mitzvos bin Adam Lechaveiro, but it's matters of Isser. And this actually, this inference can be understood in one of two ways. First, the Gemara in Shavuos brings a Pasuk as the source for this halacha and says that Ein chachma ve'ein tevuna ve'ein das neged Hashem, that there's no such thing as chachma or tevuna, wisdom, knowledge, when it comes to kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem are equivalent for the Gemara with the proper observance of halacha and abrogation of halacha. So when there stands to be an abrogation of halacha, when there stands to be a chilul Hashem, so then all knowledge, all wisdom is as if it doesn't exist. Chacham, who receives his kavod because of his wisdom, since his wisdom is as if it doesn't exist, therefore any kavod that he deserves is also as if it's non-existent. Tosfos wants to learn from there that hu hadin, that a melech and a kohen gadol, their honor, their dignity also is as if it's non-existent when Chilul Hashem is at stake. This actually is Talui in the Shaila which Tosfos raises on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, that whether the dignity of a Chacham is stronger or weaker than the dignity of a Melech and of a Kohen Gadol. Tosfos says, on the one hand, a Melech is not permitted to be Mochel, he's not permitted to forgive or to pass over his dignity. People want to embarrass him or degrade him, he may not give them permission to do so. However, Talmud Chacham has permission to be mochel. He has permission to allow people to fail to give him dignity. He's allowed to be mochel on his kavod. Tosfos initially wants to infer from here that the dignity of a melech is stronger, it's at a higher plane than that of a Talmud Chacham, and that's why it cannot be nimchal, it cannot be forgiven. Tosfos responds that no. And again, if this havamin of Tosfos were correct, then one could not infer. Maybe a Talmud Chacham is obligated to give testimony when matters of Chilul Hashem are at stake, because a Talmud Chacham's dignity is easily abrogated. It's nitan lemechila. However, the dignity of a melech is not so easily abrogated. It's not nitan lemechila. And therefore, perhaps he should also not be obligated to give testimony under such circumstances. And Tosfos reverses his Havamina and says, no, the reason that the dignity of Melech cannot be abrogated is because his dignity stems from mitzvah in the Torah. Perhaps his dignity stems from that of all of Klal Yisrael, and it's not his to do it as he wishes, as opposed to the dignity of a Talmid Chacham, which stems from his Torah. So the dignity is essentially his to do it as he wishes. And that's not a matter in terms of the strength or the importance of the dignity of these two individuals. Rather, it's a matter of the source. The Chacham's dignity as a source, he created it himself by becoming wise, and therefore he may do with it as he wishes. The dignity of the Melech is not created by himself. It's bestowed upon him by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he is simply like a shomer, like a guardian of that dignity, who may not do with it as he wishes. He must guard it in accordance with the wishes of the one who gave it, who deposited it with him. So really, the dignity of a Chacham is stronger than that of a Melech, and therefore one can infer that if a Chacham's dignity is abrogated in the Makom where he has to give Eidos about Isser, Kol Shekein that of a Melech. Just two other quick aros. First of all, there is a discussion about whether the dignity of a Kohen, the honor of a Kohen, is his to do it as he wishes, essentially based on Psukim that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aharon and the Kohanim their kavod as a matana, which would imply that they may do it as they wish, or whether no, the dignity of a Kohen is the same as the dignity of a Melech. It's something which is bestowed upon them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a deposit, and therefore they do not have full control over that dignity. They can't be mochalit if they so wish. That isn't a discussion, which according to the Hava Min HaTosfos certainly impacts upon the question about where it sits in the hierarchy. And the second thing is, it could be, again, without, you don't have time to go into it, that there's kavod for different personalities. The definition of kavod is different. It may not be a matter of rating them on a hierarchy. It may simply be that the kavod, which is due to a melech because of his quality of malchus, of being the reigning monarch, is mechayev people to and mechayev himself to act in different ways than the kavod of a kohen, whose kavod stems from his being a representative of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, or representative of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. It may be mechayev different types of kavod, both on the part of those who are interact with him and on his own part. The same thing, the kavod of a chacham may be different than the other two. And again, that's essentially what Tosfos is suggesting to resolve the discrepancy between nitan lemechila and other factors. And that may suggest that there is no hierarchy amongst these three, but rather that the definition of kavod differs in each of the three contexts.